are going to have a blessed day, and that God is going to help purge our heart of coveting. So do want to let you know that Sunday morning and Sunday night, 10:30 of a morning, 6:30 of an evening at 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We've got a guest speaker that's going to be with us this week, Mark Perkey. He's going to be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. This is my personal invitation to you to come and join us and allow God to work in your life. We want to, we like to do spiritual emphasis Sundays from time to time, just to make sure that we are as on fire as we should be for God, that we're as passionate for Him as we should be, and that we're on task and on mission, and we want to be a blessing. So come and join us, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you'd like more information, you can call the church, 321-454-4263. You can email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. You can contact us on Facebook. If you aren't able to make it out to the service, you can like us on Facebook. And, let me rephrase this. We do not live stream our services when we have guest speakers, because many times they may be sharing sensitive information in the fields that they minister to. And so, if you check out our Facebook page and you notice that we are not live streaming at about 11:15 or 11:30, we don't live stream our praise and worship or our prayer requests. We come in after that. But if you see that we're not broadcasting that day or live streaming that day, it's because we have a guest speaker, and we have to be careful with sensitive information that may or may not be discussed. I don't control what they speak, what they say, what details emerge. So we do that for the safety of themselves and the field in which they minister. So with that being said, we'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing this coming Sunday morning. Acts chapter 20, verse number 32 says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So we're going to finish this up today, and we'll roll on into our next passage after we've talked about this for a while. Paul had said in verse number 33, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel," and that he worked with his very own hands to provide for his needs and for the needs of those who were with him. And he said, "I did this not just for the meeting the need aspect, but I also did this as a way of demonstrating, giving a visual demonstration that by laboring like I have, that you would understand that we are supposed to support the weak." What that means is we're not here to support the lazy. We are here to support those who cannot support themselves. Okay? The Bible talks about let him who will not work, he's not going to get to eat. There's a big difference between not being able to work and not being willing to work. And Paul says, I want you to understand that this has all been an object lesson, not only so that I could have the finances, but to also develop in this church that that there needs to be a mindset of helping those who are less fortunate than what we are, who can't do the things that we do. So I've never had a problem with helping people. I've had a big problem with people conning Christians, conning pastors. And I have a big problem with that. You see, it's not just because a person asked that there's an actual need. There's too many people who are looking, you know, to take advantage. They are doing the exact opposite of Paul. They get up every morning and they are looking for ways to con people out of their silver or their gold or their clothing or their cars or their possessions, whatever it might be. They're looking for the easiest way out in life. And that's the exact opposite. So we're not called to empower people to live in an unhealthy and an ungodly way. We're called to educate them. You know, the Bible says if there was a thief and he got saved, let him steal no more, but let him work with his hands. There's a purpose that you have. There's a gifting that you've got. And I told people, it's like with the amount of jobs that are open right now, the last report I had heard back in November, December was like there were 7 million job openings in America among 330 million people who are living. That's a lot of job openings. That means that they're, you know, when they're talking about homelessness and things like that, that, you know, there might be a job out there that somebody could do. And I know that not all of those people who are homeless are capable of doing jobs. I understand that there's a legitimate need that happens because of the challenges of life. But I've known a lot of people and they just refused to do anything. They just wanted to, you know, either spend their money on substances or they just didn't want to work at all. And it just didn't bother them at all. They were content living at that very lowest rung of civilization. I remember saying, hearing someone say one time that sin will develop in you a contentment to live the lowest quality of life possible. And you were called to so much more than that. So Paul said, the church is there, believers are there to work, to support the weak. And he says, and remember this. This is what Jesus said. Now, when you hear words that Jesus said, then you need to understand that those words are no longer negotiable. These words are not just theory. They are practice. I was talking with someone here back in December, And they were talking about some people who were no longer in the ministry. They'd wanted to be in the ministry and then they weren't in the ministry. And I made this statement, and I said, you know, when you get out of the college sphere of theory and you get out into the real world where there are real problems and there are real challenges to deal with, and that theory begins to be put to the test, he said, a lot of times those theories don't hold up in real life. And so at Merit Assembly of God, I'm not just here to preach pie in the sky. I'm not here to preach theory. I'm here to preach the word of truth that is settled forever in heaven and on earth. And that word says this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I have found that there is a lot greater joy in giving than there is in having to be the person that received. In fact, last year, I got no problem receiving. I've got to receive something from God before I've got anything to give to man. So I've got no problem receiving, but the greater joy comes when you see that person who has a real, legitimate, honest to goodness need in their life, and someone is blessed by God to be able to not only to meet that need, but to help set that person up for success. That's where real joy comes in. So last year, as a surprise to me, someone gave me a car. And it was exciting. I mean, I now have a car with air conditioning. I am so excited about that. it's great. We, in turn, took the car that I was driving, and there was a person who had a real need. They were driving 45 minutes to an hour. Husband and wife both working, that they only had one vehicle, and they both were driving like three times a day in order to try and make both full-time jobs work. And so we were able to bless them. And let me tell you, the guy who gave me the car, I was thrilled. He was ecstatic. He was so excited. It was such a blessing. And the people who we gave the vehicle, they didn't know anything at all about it. We had them invited to church, and so the people that we've known, they've been in our services on occasion, but they actually are a part of a different church in a different city, and so they came, and they didn't know anything at all about it, and we were so excited. I said, Now this isn't the Price is Right. This is a new car. I said, but it's not Let's Make a Deal. You know, this is an old jalopy. I said, it's somewhere in between. But we were so excited to be able to give that. Coveting is all about the receiving and holding on and not letting go. But when your heart is liberated from that, you understand that the God who provided for you in the past is more than able to continue to provide for you in the future. So if he asks you to give something away, to let something go, to bless somebody else, you know that it wasn't that thing, but it was the God who provided that thing, and you can continue to trust him. And if you bless this other individual, you have no idea what God is going to be able to do in that person's life. I pray that you have discovered the joy of giving. At one point in time, Merit Assembly of God, this is during my tenure as pastor, we had a total church budget that ran somewhere, it started off our first year was $13,000. The second year was $24,000. Then there was a year of $27,000. It's $29,000. And let me tell you, in the mid-1990s, that's not a lot of money. That's not a lot of money. In fact, during that time frame, we had a debt that we had to pay as a church. We didn't have many people. It would go up and it would go down. When you start with six and you built it up to 30, that's quite a bit. And then all of a sudden it was down to 20. and we would have missionaries come in and we would give them an offering, but our giving was very sporadic. And God said, I want you to start tithing as a church. And we said, yes, Lord. And just because we had adopted that mindset that we were going to partner with God in reaching this world with the good news of Jesus Christ, God said, now I can show you that it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And so it wasn't long after that that people started coming. We went from having no money and having, I wasn't even getting a paycheck at that point in time. There wasn't any money to pay me. And we were literally living by faith. And God turned the finances around. And we've never looked back. We've never looked back. We've never been tempted to go back to that meager mindset. We have found that we as a church, we exist to be a blessing. And God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. And I encourage you as an individual to be a blessing. Learn it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you're the pastor of a church and you aren't giving to missions or you know, I've had a number of pastors that have said things like this, we're too small to give. And I say, brother, you can't afford not to give. You can't afford not to be a blessing. We can't become intra-focused to where we become like a spiritual black hole where everything is all about what's taking place inside. Let it go. Let God be in control of your purse strings, if you will, the finances, and you will find that God says, if you will prove me in this, you will find that I will open up the windows of heaven. I'm telling you, he will, he does, and he is. I want to take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians for a while because one thing moves right into another, and it's going to take us a while to get through all of this. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So he goes on and here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he tells the Corinthian church, you're the body of Christ, and you are members of that body individually. When you and I realize that the body of Christ is family, it's who we are. It's not about us looking at one another and comparing ourselves with one another and saying, well, I'm not the eye, so that's not good for me. I'm not the ear, so that's not good for me. I'm not the mouth or the nose or anything like that. You know, we compare ourselves. I have found this, that God knew what he was doing when he designed our earthly bodies. I'll just make this statement. I do not have enough faith to believe that these bodies just happened by chance. I just don't. They're too complicated. I know too many people who have too many afflictions and illnesses when one little aspect of their physical constitution goes awry and all of a sudden the body ceases to exist. You know, I've got enough faith to believe that I am created by a loving God. I don't have enough faith to believe that it all just happened by accident. You can disagree with me if you'd like. But unless you've got about a universe filled with reasons that can explain away how everything happened just at the perfect time by accident, I'm going to stick with what it says in Hebrews. By faith, we understand that God created the heavens and the earth. You are the bodies and members individually. When we see the intricacies of the human body, we realize that every person in the church has a purpose. Okay? So we don't need to be like Korah, who is looking to take someone else's purpose. We need to find out what ours is. God, it says God appointed these in the church. There were apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And the church is better because of all of those gifts. And he asked a rhetorical set of questions where the answer is either yes or no. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Well, Paul would later on say that he wished that everybody spoke with tongues, but not everybody speaks with tongues. Do all interpret the messages in tongues? The answer is no. And so what do you do with a bunch of believers that are called by God to impact their society, and you've got this wide variety of gifts and these wide varieties of personalities, and not everybody is operating in the same gift, not everybody is operating with the same level of faith? How do you handle that? And Paul, his answer is in verse number 31, where it says, earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. That word earnestly desire means to run hot for or to be zealous for. I don't know if you've ever been in the presence of someone that they just weren't in a hurry to get anywhere anytime soon, and they had no reason to get there, so they didn't care if they were impeding everybody else in society. And yes, I am talking slower intentionally. And contrast that with a person that says, this is where I came from. This is where I am. This is where I'm supposed to be going, and I'm supposed to get there as soon as I possibly can. And that person is zealously pursuing the journey. They are running hot for it. They are zealous for it. They are earnestly desiring to get to that destination. Well, that's the type of mindset that Paul says that we should have for the gifts that God wants to provide and operate and manifest inside the church of the living God. He says, what are you supposed to do? Earnestly desire the best gift, the gifts that are going to impact for the greater degree. So I love to preach. And my thing has always been, God, I want to preach a timely word for this group of people, Merit Assembly of God. There may be wonderful words that are going to other congregations throughout the world. That doesn't mean that my congregation needs that word for this season. God has a timely word in due season for every congregation. And so right now I'm eagerly desiring the gift of healing. The reason is because there are so many people who are battling affliction and illness, infirmity and disease, that this is the gift that Merit Assembly of God needs right now more than any other gift. So you know what? The way that you get that is you earnestly desire it. You say, God, this is not about me. It is not about fame. It is not about anything other than this church needs this gift more than any other gift right now. God, would you impart that gift to this church so that they can fulfill the task, the gift, the assignment, the purpose that you have for each individual? There are people who cannot do the things they want to do right now because of the physical challenges that they're facing. But you know what? I've got a God who is not only my Savior, He is also my healer. He is my provider. He's my coming King. He's the one that provided salvation for me and placed things in my heart so that I could be a blessing to others and others a blessing to me. So I am earnestly desiring this gift, not because I want to be a healing evangelist. I did it. I'm running hard after it because my church needs healing. Your church, what does God need you to pursue? I hope you run hard after it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Earn your way, hey, that's a lesson that we're taught. But I know things eternal can't be sold and can't be bought. Amazing grace is something I could never hold. And I know love and mercy are outside of my control. But I'm reminded of a ransom paid beyond my worth on a hill outside the city where heaven kissed the earth. Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy pouring over me, because of that grace, I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Hey, some believe they can make it on their own, but only in the end to find they're really not that strong. But I believe, ooh, that if I choose to live by faith, that God will give me strength to make it each and every day. But we are lost without a Savior to save us from ourselves. For it's only by the grace grace of God that we can live the test.